Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast in the summer. Who knew it? It's fixtures day, so we thought we'd do a little pod just to keep our fingers in the pie, so to speak, while you're all enjoying your summer holidays. Hope we're not disturbing you too much. But the EFL Championship fixtures were out today, and of course Norwich City were involved, which is very exciting. And my name's Michael Bailey. I'm joined by Sports Desk Peter Raven and Chief Norwich City Writer for the Eastern Daily Press, Paddy Davitt. Gentlemen, good summers so far?
No, the weather's atrocious and Norwich in the Championship, so no, not a great summer, mate.
You're off to Austria soon though, aren't you, Paddy?
Not on holiday, Pete. yeah, that's the plan, yeah. Well, we'll see all these new signings, I'm sure.
What about the feast of football we're enjoying at the Euros at the moment?
Are we?
Oh, God, all right. Tell you what, let's look straight at the fixtures. That will cheer everyone up. So they're all out. I'm sure at this point you've all had a look at them. We won't go through them fixture by fixture, but I guess we should start at the start, shouldn't we? Norwich City open the 2016-17 season at Ewood Park, where they'll face Blackburn Rovers. Looking at it then, it's Sheffield Wednesday at home, Bristol City at home in the following Tuesday, before a local East Anglian derby with Ipswich Town at Portman Road, and then Birmingham City away. Rounds off the opening month. That looks a tricky opening month to me, Pat.
Yeah, no, I'd concur there, Michael. I think, Rovers away, I know they're a club who are kind of one of these who unfortunately have seen better days and are languishing a touch, but they're still, you know, Owen Corr's gone in there now, obviously, as certain individuals departed, so that robs us of another reunion. But, it's a hard one to gauge what they're going to do this season, because infrastructurally, you know, they're a sort of club who could do a Brighton and get on a roll, but I think he's got a big job on there if you look at recent seasons, Owen Corr. But still, away from home, hopefully no hangover, but that's not a gimme, that. And then Sheffield Wednesday day, to me, obviously went all the way, got to Wembley, not quite good enough in the playoff final, but they look like a proper outfit who are moving forward there and have a massive club. So that by no stretch is a gimme at Carrow Road on the 13th of August. And then, you know, Bristol City, Gary O'Neill thought they were a better bet, or rather he had a longer contract offer on the table. So who knows? And then, well, the next fixture speaks for itself, doesn't it, really? And my fear is now it's six and counting since they won a game, so sadly, I think the law of averages might be on Ipswich's side at some point in these two meetings. I'm not really bringing much joy here, I know. But, and then Birmingham, yeah, well, they're another one. You see, they were just on a periphery. Gary Rowett is a very highly rated manager, and they don't give anything away cheaply. So a trip to St Andrews is not, you know, I wouldn't describe it as a bedding yourself in month. I think they're going to have to be bang at it straight away. Otherwise, they're going to be losing ground, I think.
Yeah, we've got a few reunions, haven't we? You mentioned Gary O'Neill. Gary Hooper's obviously at Sheffield Wednesday. Several former players at Blackburn Rovers, if not Paul Lambert, of course. And you see people like Jake Humphrey noting in their diary, guaranteed 3 points for the derby date. I mean, it's great banter, hashtag Bants Club. But, yeah, you worry that, as Pat said, at some point they're going to win a game. It is going to happen. It's not as guaranteed as you think. I mean, what do you feel looking at that opening, Pete?
What, in terms of points?
Yeah.
Let's see.
In terms of happiness as well. I mean, do you look at that and go, oh, God. Do you look at that and think that's okay? Or
yeah, it's not Villa, Newcastle or like other big clubs in the Championship. It's fairly average, isn't it? What have Blackburn done the last few seasons? Not a great deal. We won there last time we played them. I know Lambert was trying to rebuild Norwich City's old promotion team there. We've got a few of them, but I'm not too unhappy with that. Get Portman Road out of the way with nice and early, 3 points, and the rest Sheffield Wednesday is going to be a tricky one, isn't it? Playoff final last year, so, but I mean, most fans were looking straight for Ipswich Town, weren't they, home and away? And then I guess the next one after that you look at is Burton Albion away, and get your points in for however many seats or standing tickets we get for that one. But no, happy with that first month.
Well, let's get that out of the way, shall we? Carrow Road for Ipswich's visit is, I know this one, February the 25th.
At the moment.
With
the Sky, so battle.
Well, are they going to be on Sky? It's worth saying that Sky have already selected their opening games, haven't they, Paddy? And Norwich Blackburn isn't one of them. Who is? Do you know who it actually is?
Newcastle's game, forgive me, I don't know who against. Yeah, on a Friday night, and then one that will get everybody on the edge of their seats. QPR Leeds, two basket cases, and then Villa Sheffield Wednesday, which could be a very good game. I think on the Sunday. That's the pick of the weekend fixtures. Well, I've been told Forest are playing Burton, so why that wouldn't be a TV date, I don't know. But with Nigel Clough. So and I don't think there'll be too many, as Pete says, maybe the derbies aside. But if there is one upside for not being in the Premier League, it's the inevitable churn of this date has been moved and this time has been moved. So Saturday 3 o'clock, Tuesday 7:45. Get used to it.
That's what a lot of fans have noted is some of the midweek fixtures are the long hauls, aren't they? Wigan, Newcastle, Huddersfield, Bristol. I think it's the same for some of the return fixtures as well. I don't know how they work it out that we have to play the furthest away teams.
Yeah, it's. I guess it's a bit probably the same for Newcastle. It's very difficult, I would imagine, ensuring all your away trips in midweek are at clubs that are quite nearby. You know, a lot of these are going to be long trips for Norwich anyway. It's a shame, maybe, that we have Bristol and Newcastle, I would imagine, are two of the longest.
Cardiff's the longest, isn't it? I think Newcastle's second. So
Preston's a fair trek as well. So they've obviously got a lot to kind of factor in. I did notice that if you play a team midweek at home, you will probably play them midweek in the return fixture. I think Villa is the only time when... I think Villa have got to come here in midweek, but Norwich go there on a Saturday.
Well, haven't we got Fulham midweek as well away, which is a bit odd. I mean, you should play them on a Saturday, because I tend to go every year just to break the hoodoo, and I never do, so I'm going to have to give that one a miss.
Well, that's not too far away, though, is it? You see, that's one of the better trips away. Good. Well, we've done that. We've done the derby dates. Shall we look at Christmas? Christmas is a bit... Well, we've got a big break before Christmas, because Christmas Eve is on a Saturday. So it's the... Boxing Day, they are away at Reading, and then on the Saturday, which is New Year's Eve, away at Brentford. Wonderful place to go.
Well, it's got a pub in every corner, hasn't it? The stadium.
Until then,
the new year in Brentford.
They will be moving, of course, stadium soon, but not in time for Norwich, sadly, this time around. And then Derby on January the 2nd, which is a Monday. So that's a slightly busy period after that. Easter, Norwich are playing twice over Easter this time, aren't they? It's a Saturday and then Easter Monday, where they are at home to Fulham and then Preston away. So yeah, that's a long trek, but it is at least on a Monday. What a way to spend a bank holiday, hey? And that basically forms the run-in, because that's quite late in April. So the run-in is Fulham at home, Preston away, Brighton at home, Leeds away, QPR at home. The run-in doesn't seem as sticky as the rest.
I'd take that. Yeah, that's the first time I've properly studied that. Leeds away is always a spicy one, irrespective of what they're doing in the league. But yeah, long way to go. But if they got to that Easter period and they're banging it, then I'd fancy them to crack on there.
Plus, it's four games out of six at home, isn't it? At the end. The last six, there's four at home, so like Paddy says, if we are in it, Fortress Carrow Road.
It'll be very interesting. Saturday, 22nd of April, Brighton and Hove Albion to Carrow Road. It'll be the first time Chris Hughton has come back to Carrow Road, won't it, as manager? Will it? Because did he take over from Brighton?
We played his team away, didn't we? I don't know if we played his team at home. I don't think we did.
I don't think he was in... It was still had Sammy Hippier, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it'll be... Well, not only that, but what position will Brighton be in? This was a team that went so close to promotion last season. They could feasibly be well in the top two and competing alongside Norwich, we hope, fingers crossed.
Yeah, you're optimistic there, Michael. That's not what you were telling me the other day, Mike.
I was going to get to that point. But Brighton could well be up there.
Well, only on what they did last season, but then they were so left field last season. You know, they could easily go the other way again, couldn't they? To me, Wednesday looked like they've got more of a foundation in place. I didn't see the playoff final, truth be told, but I saw the games that they played in the semi-final. It was Brighton, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Funnily enough, and they looked a really well-drilled championship outfit, and obviously you get that place moving forward, the support base they've got is frightening. So, yeah, I mean, obviously we'll probably discuss who's going to be in the mix, but I'd certainly put Wednesday above Brighton for me, I think.
Yeah, we'll get into that now. I was going to be honest and front up. I am a little bit worried about this season. I think it's entirely possible Norwich won't finish in the top six. And I think you look through this fixture list, and you're right, it is kind of, say the start is average. It's all quite average in terms of the team, but they're all teams that it feels so tight, and they all feel like they can do a job in this division. And I can't remember if I felt like this looking at the fixture list 2 years ago, but to me it feels like a much stronger division. I think Norwich are going to be proper up against it this year.
Well, especially the two that have come down. I mean, they are two huge clubs, and if they've got the money behind them, you'd expect both of them to be up there. And Derby, they're always there and thereabouts. Like Sheffield Wednesday last season, like Paddy said, Brighton as well. There are a few teams in it. You think, yeah, why aren't they going to be in the top six? And I don't know. Can't predict anything at the moment, but
no, that's why we're doing a podcast. Pete, you have to.
All right then. I think it'll be top half, but I don't.
Top half?
Yeah.
It's worse than me.
What
do you think we're going to run away with it, do you, Paddy?
No, Newcastle will run away with it.
Right. Yeah.
Because
what, what'll be second?
No, top six. Top six. And then
that's
obviously.
Top six, top half?
Well, it is, yes. Technically, yeah. But I can't see them threatening the top two. I mean, Newcastle, for me, you've got Benitez. Okay, he hasn't managed in the Championship, but what's his stock in trade? Arch organiser. So he'll have them properly drilled defensively. And then with Ashley's wealth, they can buy any player they want. They can pay any wage they want vis-a-vis Championship targets. Obviously, they're not going to be looking for Premier League players because they'll get blown out of the water. But if they're in for a player with any other team in that Championship, then there's only one outcome there, sadly. So, yeah, to me, they're over the hill. And then Villa. A lot depends on how quickly that comes together. There's a lot of change going on there, not just the management, but you know, the ownership. New CEO's gone in there. Yes, they're a big club, got the infrastructure like Newcastle, but I think that's a bigger rebuilding job. So I wouldn't necessarily subscribe that it's them two and the rest. Certainly Newcastle, but and then all the clubs Pete listed, yeah, you'd have to fancy them. Derby, I think, under Pearson, they will go very close. Shows what he knows what it's all about. This league got Leicester out of it, didn't he? So, but unlike you pessimists, you Norwich fans, I'm no Norwich fan, and I think they'll be in the top six. And then it's just whether they get a fair wind, a bit of momentum at the right time. They certainly know what it's all about to come through the playoff route. So, but you know, a lot of water to flow under that bridge.
Speaking of those teams we expect to be up there, you look at the first sort of seven fixtures, it's only Sheffield Wednesday really that we've spoken about. So that is, going on that basis, it's an ideal start for Norwich.
Well, it is, but Ipswich will fancy trying to get back into some sort of playoff challenge this year. Bristol City have a lot of money behind them and there's a project going on there, and now that they've stabilised, you wonder if they will just invest in a few players. I mean, they might not, and that's the thing that might become clear a couple of weeks in. They might find it a real struggle.
Also, I'll just throw that in, actually. You're talking about investment. All those August fixtures will be played with the window ramping up ahead of the transfer deadline on September the 1st. So, let's be honest, with the greatest will in the world, there'll be players who probably won't be at Norwich come the end of September, who might be there at the start of August. And there's going to be a lot of speculation. There's going to be, you know, players who, are they going, are they staying? So all of that is a backdrop to those fixtures. It's not a case of August the 6th, they run out of Ewood Park and that's Norwich's squad for the season. So we'd like it to be that thus, but we all know that the transfer window really, there's a lot of hot air until you get to the final week, 10 days. So sadly, that's going to be the backdrop off here.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I felt that it was Norwich would go up 2 years ago, otherwise it would be a failure. I'm pretty sure I felt that quite strongly. I don't know if I can see that in this instance. I'm not really sure if that's why. I just feel that Norwich are maybe just coming to an end of a cycle, and it might not even be in their control in terms of where the club's at the moment. There's obviously going to be a lot of work that goes on in the summer, and as you say, Paddy, into the first month of the season as well. Villa are an interesting one. Tommy Elphick's, I think, a really good signing, and in a way, if they're probably better off if they do have a massive amount of change and turn it round, because that might be enough to shed off and shake off whatever all the stuff that happened last year and get some sort of forward momentum going, in the same way that change didn't really hamper Watford last year, I guess, initially. I mean, in terms of transfer business, Paddy, it's been a really quiet time, but we kind of expected that, didn't we, with the Euros?
Well, yeah, I mean, with the Euros, but as I say, when do you ever see massive amounts of business in June? I mean, the window officially doesn't open until July the 1st, so no. I mean, Alex Neil said, didn't he, that He thought it'd be post Euros, but as I say, just to reiterate, I think it'll be post Euros and then some. I don't think there'll be massive amount of business getting done in or out of the door in July, sadly. So we're going to have plenty of speculation between now and September the 1st. If you want me to put my head on the block, I don't think Brady, I don't think Redmond will be here. I think Closer will be here, and then it's who they can bring in. And me personally, I want them to go and whatever money they can accumulate, go and spend it on an actual striker who's going to score them 20 goals in this division and 10 in the one above. Did a little bit with Jamie Curran earlier in the week. That'll be in print later on in the week, and he made the point, you know, it's not now about just trying to get out of this division. Yes, that's the first priority, but if you want to break this cycle, you know, a 10 goal man last season would have kept them up, because that would have been a difference in maybe two games where they drew and they might have won, or defeats would have been draws. So, you know, I look at that squad, if those departures, as we expect, go through, then still look at it and think defensively, midfield wise, they'd be well stocked, but they're so light up front, it's not true. So whether it's Championship strikers they're looking at, whether it's abroad, they need to really, really make a signal of intent and buy a striker who's going to make the same sort of an impact as an Andre Gray, a Callum Wilson, or Dion Agallo. And if they can do that, then I think top six is nailed on. If they don't do that and September the 1st comes and you're relying on Cameron Jerome, then don't be surprised if they're not in the top six.
It would be wonderful if they could keep hold of Tim Closer. Do you think that's mostly...
I'm caveating that with, if they got to January and the window reopens and as you boys are saying, they're probably not anywhere near the mix, then you shake hands and you go your separate ways, because I'm sure he'll have his suitors. But we have to remember he's coming back from a fairly serious injury, and it might take him a few weeks to get up to speed, and by then that window might have closed anyway. So, you know, that might work in their favour. But also on the flip side, I know the lad himself, he's fairly torn. I think he does genuinely feel an affinity here now. The fans have took him to their hearts. You can tell the character he is. I don't think, would he have come to Norwich in the first place if he was motivated by either finance or, you know, a top-end Premier League club? He wouldn't have looked at Norwich twice. And so the reality is, I think there is a window that they could possibly keep him till the January transfer window comes to pass. But, you know, again, a lot of things have to fall into place, and if they did that and it hadn't gone as they hoped, then you shake hands, you say thanks for giving it a crack, Tim, on you go, mate, get yourself back in the Premier League, get yourself back in the top leagues in Europe, because he's good enough. So I'd like to think that's how Alec Neil's thinking, but ultimately it'll, as with Brady, as with Redmond, a lot of this is driven by the players and their representatives. If they don't want to be here, then they won't be here, and that's what it boils down to.
And obviously the chief executive search is ongoing, and I'd be surprised if we get anywhere near anything to do with that during the window, to be honest.
Well, you'd like that sewn up before anything else. I think that's probably one of the most important appointments of the summer. I know that when McNally joined, it was around this time, so you'd want someone in.
Interim structures in place, though, Pete, no pressure.
Right. But I want someone permanent, even if it is going to be Steve Stone. You just want their decision made so the club can look forward and move on, and they know what direction they're going to go under and who's in charge. But at the moment, everything's still up in the air, and I think that then feeds itself down. I'd love him to stay, but I'd be surprised if he does. I mean, I took Turner and Whittaker's new contracts as a sign that maybe one or two of the Olsen and Closer might disappear.
But the thing about those, it was the same with Wes. When Norwich went up last time, at that moment, it triggered the extension. It's not that they signalled the extension now. So with Alex Tetti, Wes Houlihan and Michael Turner, they effectively had new two-year deals triggered last year. So you don't have to read anything into that. But the rest, I guess, we will see. Cameron Jerome, you mentioned him, Paddy. New contract, fine, happy with that. Proven championship player. 3 years, possible another year. Quite a long time for a 30-year-old. And he needs competition. That's the thing for me. He has to have, like he did 2 years ago, he had Lewis Graben starting probably as many games as him. And he had Gary Hooper chipping in with goals too. He's got to have that competition, because at the moment it's basically Cameron Jerome, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's, I guess the length of the deal might have something to do with Middlesbrough's interest. But
Ported interest.
If Lafferty goes, then it's just him, isn't it? So
you're forgetting the Dutchman.
Oh, well, you always forget the Dutchman. You really think he's got a future?
No. Not Norwich, no.
Feyenoord, he was linked with?
Yeah, I don't know whether that was overactive fan site or what, but yeah, he didn't play any part last season. He's not, well, relative to a Capital One, a cup outing, I think, and a few pre-season games, so...
He scored, Paddy, don't run it. He scored in that game. He'd only done it twice in a Norwich chair.
Fair play to the lad. But, everything you say is spot on with Jerome. You know, he will do a job in the Championship, but do you want to hang your hat on him? And will he do it if he thinks he's going to be nailed on every week? I think the answer to both of those are up in the air, so I'll reiterate what I said. They need to, A, find a target, and B, do whatever it takes to get them over the line.
You did a bit of scouting, didn't you? What sort of ish? It went in the paper. It was a few targets. Would you fancy any of those? Anyone in particular?
Naki Wells, get him here now. I would take Naki Wells, and he will score in a Norwich team on the front foot more often than not, dominating midfield, dominating possession. He would score 20, 25 goals in that Norwich team.
Not Chris Martin, no. I don't think that'll happen anyway.
Super Chris. Yeah, it'll be interesting what Derby do with Nigel Pearson in charge. He is in charge there, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, when we did that Championship team for next season, Bradley Johnson got most of the votes, didn't he? So I can't see him returning.
No, not. I think Derby will probably want another £6 million for him. It'll be interesting what Norwich spend this summer. I'll be interested in that as well. Well done, Wes Houlihan. He scored at the Euros with his right foot. Incredible scenes, Pete.
Never in doubt. And man of the match, 16-1.
Did you have money on?
Yeah.
Oh, how much?
£5.
That's not bad. 16-1.
Yeah.
Oh, good work. All right. Lunch is on Pete. Good to know. It didn't quite go so well for him against Italy. No, against who? Who do they play next?
Belgium.
Belgium.
Won't against Italy either.
No. We'll see how that goes. They will be on their way home soon. And of course, Norwich are back in pre-season training in five days' time. Monday, isn't it? 27th. Five days' time. Jeez. Obviously not the Euros boys, but there we go. Right. Well, enjoy the rest of the Euros. Thanks, gents. We will, of course, you can go pinken.com. It's got all the fixtures on if you didn't quite track them down. And you want to know when Norwich are playing Wolves, then you can find that all out on the website. And of course, we'll be back with these during the summer, as well as all the other general bits and bobs. But we done, gents? Yeah, they're nodding. Brilliant. Well, thanks.
See you after Paddy's Boys Cup final.
Yeah.
Full season against Coventry.
Can't lose. If only it was a league fixture in the Premier League, but then I'd be long retired before that comes to pass.
They will finish in the top six of the division next year, I'm sure.
Well, Norwich.
Yeah. Coventry.
I need Pete's money on that.
My money's on Bristol Rovers.
Oh yeah, isn't it always? Well, enjoy that. We'll be back before pre-season because we'll start teeing that sort of stuff up as well. And you're off to Austria, of course, Pat, so we need to speak to you before you have your holiday abroad. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back soon. Enjoy your summer. Bye for now.